following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Once again, joined by Mr. A.I. Wynn. Wynn, are you on the line with me? Well, actually, you're in the studio today.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay.
I can. Very good.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's shaping up to be a nice day, it appears. Hey, thank you for coming in again today. And just like in the prior weeks, I want to remind people that we talk about a lot of different content. There's a lot going on today in the world of malicious and non-malicious hacking that you need to be aware of. It's amazing all the things we've got going on at one time in the cyber space. But, you know, there's a lot more than meets the eye occasionally, or unfortunately, I guess I should say. And anything we talk about should be you know, simply information that you may or may not decide to engage a professional to further advise and assist. Because let's face it, most of we lay people are not cut out to be doing operations or other settings in our, you know, deep into our systems, which is where these hacks often reside. Sometimes they're right up front, they're right in your face, and you may or may not realize what they are, which is kind of scary. But in any event, if you've got questions along that line, we had a couple calls this past week from small business folks. And I say small, you know, if you're less than a couple thousand employees, you're a small company. And what we find is the lower down the count you go, the less likely the company has professionals in-house that, one, can keep up with all this information, and two, know what to do once they see it. And that's something that Mr. AI Wynn, rather, does all day, every day. And if you need help, let us know. Wynn, would you agree that you see that in your work with the companies that you're called on to serve?
Yes. So, you know, it's a common trend. But before I start, let's start with the disclaimers. These opinions expressed here are based on general trends and common insight related to cybersecurity and small businesses. They do not represent any legal advice, professional consulting, or exhaust analysis. Just want to make that clear.
Boy, almost as good as a lawyer. Maybe one of your lawyer clients wrote that for you.
Actually, like. I cut and pasted into my document this morning.
Okay. Well, I'll let you take over at this point, at least on the agenda. Why don't you explain we're going to talk about today?
Well, we have a server agenda today, so I want to talk about, if time permits. One of them is talk about why small businesses are more frequent target cyber attacks. That's very common now than bigger business, but you don't see a lot of people reporting it.
Yeah.
And another topic is about artificial intelligence and has the potential impact the election. You know, we got 31 days left. Right?
Yeah.
And also the drone and unmanned aerial vehicle, you know, how dramatically transform in modern warfare, and Tesla and battery too. So those are the four topics I want to delve in today.
Okay.
So let's start with the why small business are more frequent target of cyber attacks. Okay. So let's start with this. you're telling me the more likely someone's going to try to hack you if you're a small business. So that's kind of wild when you think about it. You know, you think the opposite, right? Like those big corporations with all the money?
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's like Jesse James, the famous bank robber back in the day, said when they asked him why he robs banks. They didn't say large banks, and in large measure, he robs small banks. And he replied with, well, that's where the money is. And so just because you're small in number of employees doesn't mean you don't have significant financial resources or intangible assets, right? That's a big deal in today's world, right?
So basically like putting a big target on your back, like these cyber criminals, basically.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, this isn't just like a small study either. It's a report really digging into it. So this is what we find. And that's huge because not the hacker on interest in big company. It's that smaller business are just lower hanging fruit, basically.
Yeah.
You know? So it sounds like...
Well, you know, the having a target on your back is, I would say, just as common for the small company, but there's a lot more small companies. I mean, I see a different number every time I see people opine, but Ms. Harris, who's currently running for president, makes it sound like she's going to create, I don't know, you've seen the number, what is it, 5 million small businesses during her, if she wins her term? It's a big number, and that's on top of the ones we already have, right? So those
numbers, they just throw it out. So
yeah, we don't, I know. We can't even they have no, like they have no business literacy at all as a background in her or her running mate's case. They've never won. Neither of them run a small business. They have no clue. And in fact, I was just watching before we started on the air, the Fox. Whatever their Sunday morning show is, and they played a clip yesterday that had Harris at some kind of event. Maybe it was an interview with one of the leading Latino small business people. And when Harris started spewing her incoherent adjectives, as she's wont to do, you should see the look on the face of that Latino small business leader. It was like, what are you talking about? So,
the body language, the beauty about the body language, it never lies.
Yeah,
you
that's
can
true.
See it.
That's a very, very good point.
I mean,
very good point. But, very
deceptive. So your body will show everything that you said.
You know? Yeah, true. Well, I'm curious, Wynn, because you see it probably a little bit from both sides. I don't know what the largest company is you've worked with, but do you see it's more likely or less likely that a small business might be targeted?
Well, the reason the small business are targeted because it's a weaker security infrastructure. That's number one, right?
Right.
Small businesses generally have fewer resources to invest in robust cybersecurity measures compared to a larger company. This makes them more vulnerable to attack as they might lack the necessary defense like advanced firewall, encryption, and intrusion detection system. And
yeah,
that's what I've seen, and that's what when people call in, and that's what I noticed for all my lifetime that I spend that I work with a company, that's what I noticed. And a lot of them, they're not well informed. They're not informed like a bigger company, you know.
Yeah.
So they perceive as easy targets. Hacker often sees small business as easy target because they less likely to have dedicated IT or, just like you said, a cybersecurity team monitoring their network.
Yeah,
this makes it easier for attacker to exploit weaknesses.
Well, and you could even stop it. They're less likely to have the requisite firewalls and other hardware that they can run the first-in-class software, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we were talking this past week about how much CrowdStrike cost, and is surprisingly inexpensive at the per-employee level. And I know that's one we've talked about in the past. We talked about one of the patches being improperly applied that caused a lot of heartache and dollars. What was it, Wynn, a month and a half ago? And that happens.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, and that's better, by the way, than have a hacker living inside your system for an undetermined length of time, I would say. I mean, it's not pretty.
But, in CrowdStrike cases, it's a self-inflicted.
Right,
But then again, it to tell you how vulnerable we are. And another item, too, that small businesses are smaller in scale. They still hold value data, such as customer information, credit card details.
Right.
And proprietary business information. It's easier to hack the small business because the criminal know they can target smart for this data. And which can be sold in the dark web and used for further crime like identity theft. It's easier with small business.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Now, there's fertile fields out there. More fertile pastures, you might say.
Yeah. So the company that I dealing with most of all supply chains business and supply chain vulnerabilities, as you can see all over the news. I mean, every day, okay, small business are often part of a larger supply chain. By targeting them, the attacker can use them to entry point into larger corporations. Like cyber criminals exploit a weaker security of small businesses to gain access to large corporations they partner with. That's how you attack. You don't go to the front door, you go in the back door to the weakest link. And that's how they get in. Okay? And it also ransomware opportunity too. That's another thing that one of the most devastating hacking performed by the hacker is the ransomware. The ransomware attack on small business are appealing to attacker because the smaller company are more likely to pay the ransom. That's the thing. I know some cases that people actually pay for them. And you realize once you pay them, they're on your back forever.
Yeah. Well, okay. We've talked about this before, and it seems like it's very difficult to ever close, you know, perfectly close the door to the same group continuing to plague the small businesses. But in any event, you know, based on what we read, it seems like small businesses are at least three times more likely to be targeted than the big companies that I guess you would call big.
Because they have lack of backup system and disaster recovery plan. That's another thing, too.
Yeah. Well, they're just, it's not that the hackers aren't interested in the big companies. It's just the smaller companies are easier. It's what we would call low-hanging fruit or lower-hanging fruit.
Yep.
So,
size does matter, I guess.
Yeah, it sure seems to.
Right. So now another thing too, your best defense on ransomware, backup system. And the first thing the bad guy does, they disable your backup system. And bigger company, they have backup system, but small company, if you ask around, a lot of them don't even have it. They don't even have a plan. You know what? Forget small companies. Even some big companies don't even have a plan. They look at the backup system disaster recovery plan once a year, you know?
Yeah. Check the box for an insurance company or somebody. And, yep. But, you know, you kind of count on Amazon and Google, you know, big cloud hosting companies. My gosh, I mean, if they ever do have a catastrophic where they get wiped out,
exactly.
That's going to be a bad, bad news.
So, and another thing too is automation of attack. Okay, when I say automation attack, is attack can often use automatic tools and scripts scan for vulnerabilities. And these tools do not discriminate between large or small businesses, meaning small businesses often fall victim to the broad because indiscriminate attack and exploit common vulnerability. They're easier, you know. So that's one other thing that when I talk to the communities, I said, if you don't have an IT person, you need to get them, or at least get some backup. That's your best defense. Backup, 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 backup.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that means you check your backups occasionally and make sure they work, or you make sure you're backing up. You know, there's some software I know in the accounting world, we have the need typically to do a full backup, not just an incremental, you know, give us the files that changed today type backup, mm-hmm. because that's problematic when you have to restore and you're getting pieces here and pieces there. You really need to do a full, complete backup of that data drive or that data repository. And yep. there's other applications too. It's not just accounting software, but the really, really sophisticated backup softwares can do incremental backups pretty well. But I tell you, it never ceases to fail. There's some issue with a couple files that just didn't make the latest execution of the backup.
So here's the solutions. Okay, just a common thing, just in the bullet point. Invest in the basic cybersecurity tools like antivirus, right, and encryptions,
yeah.
and the regular software update and patching. That's number two. And use strong, unique password. And you know what I noticed? A lot of people using the same password for everything, all their website and their bankings and their email, same password.
Yeah.
Okay. Even though you increase it to like 12 characters, but you're using the same password. If they get lucky, the password, they can access the entire everything. And nothing to, you know, train yourself or, you know, a small company, educate and train your employees. Conduct a regular cybersecurity training. Educate employees or identify phishing attack. That's how you do it. Huh?
Yeah, true. And, you know, I know in most small companies, you know, everyone feels like they're stretched already, right? Just trying to get through the day with whatever role they play. And so this is, it's just absolute combination of all the wrong variables, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're as I heard it described once, it's when you're up against a hacker or a ransom attack, you know, small companies like going, you know, showing up at a sword fight with a rusty spoon, quote unquote, you're not ready to do battle and you're not in the business of doing battle like they are. And that's why you've got to either have someone in-house dedicated. I wouldn't say dedicated necessarily to fix this kind of stuff when, but dedicated to knowing when there's a problem or the fact that, hey, we don't have certain protections that we need. And it may not be that party that's going to install or otherwise execute, but at least there's someone who's pretty much full-time occupying their time with checking and monitoring and looking for things that maybe don't feel right or look right.
You know what? By the end of the day, you can expect everybody to be cybersecurity, right?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, you mentioned the cloud service. That nowadays you can not even trust your provider. You don't even know if they have strong security. You cannot rely everything on them now. I'm telling you, I've seen the cloud service are being attacked now. So if they go for like one day, if they like attack Microsoft or AWS.
That's Amazon's.
I would not even rule out the possibility. Probably. I'm telling you this right now.
Yeah.
So
it evolved. To clarify, AWS is the Amazon
right.
cloud platform. Right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And right now they're very strong. I mean, I kind of picked them over Microsoft. But now, but in the future, you don't know because it evolved. I'm telling you, the AI and hacker, hacker using AI to leverage the AI, that's very powerful tools, and they can change on the fly, you know?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, one thing that I've noticed, and this is something that I don't hear discussed much, but I know I was looking at a CRM system once I was thinking about, and I noticed there were some reviews and comments, you know, online, and apparently, there's more than a few applications, and this isn't just in the CRM world, so, you know, you got to look at everything you use, where encryption might exist up to the point of your data going into a given host, but within the hosting company, there's no encryption. So somebody working there or otherwise that's gained access to their files would have the ability to see data. And that's something that most people, we just assume that, hey, if we're dealing with an online, you know, a known brand, and this was a big brand, this wasn't some little small company, you had some exposure. Now, whether or not in reality you were dealing with bad actors, I don't know, but how would you ever know, right? I'd mm-hmm. rather know that I've got encryption and bet my money on that working instead of the fact that you're always going to have good people with integrity that has access to your data. Hey, Wynn, let's do this. We went about 5 minutes past our normal break time. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll circle back here momentarily.
Okay. Sound great.
Yeah, we'll be back momentarily with more of this week's Cybersecurity Sunday Be a Planner Show.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words. Better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com. Nathan at NPRoss.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
The song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fantasies. And there are many just like me with big dreams and fantasies.
Week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and my guest on this Cybersecurity Sunday show, Mr. AI Wynn. So, Wynn, we've been talking about another cybersecurity facet, which is a focus on small businesses. Small businesses are, according to some estimates, three times as likely to be hacked than large companies, and we've been discussing those reasons. I mean, they're an easier target, number one. And what else would you say, Wynn, if you were just looking at the top couple or three items, what makes them so vulnerable?
Well, because they are smaller and they don't have the security like the software that they supposed to like security tools, right?
And how about the professional acumen? Are they lacking, or do they typically have...
Lacking of awareness. Many small businesses lack a cybersecurity awareness. They might underestimate their attractiveness as target, or they think they're too small to be noticed by cyber criminals.
Yeah.
This misconception leads to inadequate security protocols. And that's what I see the most. But most of the number one reason is a weaker security infrastructure.
And it's not always obvious, is it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk to the next topic.
Okay.
Okay. So the next topic I want to talk about is how artificial intelligence has potential to impact the election. And this is a double-edged sword. Okay. So I just want to start out to say that imagine that you have the election campaign that's so smart that you know exactly what to say to people and how to get their vote and for their candidate. You're using AI.
That's never happened, has it?
Well, now you're going to see, if you look at the other day, right, a candidate depend on the on the screen, right, what to say and not to say, the teleprompter.
Right.
And what happened when it shut down? They go blank, right?
All heck breaks out. Right.
Exactly. Now, imagine if you use the AI and with a teleprompter and be able to, this sound like a futuristic, come from the movie, okay? Like, you know, exactly closer. Think about the AI in the election. Like, how does it know, right? Like, you can predict and you know what your constituency wants. You target a campaign. AI can analyze mass amount of data to identify key voter. And I'm talking about in terms of demographics. And imagine you use to tailor that message specifically to those groups, and you use an AI. You know what they want. You know what people want. Right?
Yeah.
So misinformation is what I'm worried.
This topic is really
sensitive. Yeah.
Well, and it's scary. I mean, I know I've got friends that don't think their vote matters in these elections, and boy, with AI, it really could be true. I mean, how do we know? I mean, again, I've often questioned, how is it that in today's times we don't have a way, when there's no way you or I or any other American can confirm from the point they made voting choices in a voting booth, or that I may have FedEx or you know, otherwise provided my mail-in ballot to the whoever it is that gets it here in Bexar County, there's no way I can go. It's not like, you know, we can log into our IRS.gov account and see exactly who's paid us, you know, from payors. We can see all the information between IRS and our filings. And why is it that we cannot confirm my vote and your vote? It's insane. And it makes you think that there's parties, and they may be on both sides of the aisle, that don't want you to be able to confirm that. I mean, but then you add, and this is all before AI was even an issue. Now with AI, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a good thing, because maybe whoever they are no longer in control over, you know, how votes get counted and ascribed. But I don't know. I'm sure you're going to enlighten us on some of the other issues that AI adds to the table, but it's kind of scary.
Well, think about this. AI can help medicals, right? And let me tell you, like for research, for example, AI can help in the medical field, in researching, get the data faster, get the information, get the result faster. It can do the same thing with elections. It using bot and AI-driven platform, you interact with voters, right? You answer the question in real time. And with that, you provide personal information and polling location. Think about all those stuff, that they can understand the voter better, right?
Yeah.
And you can focus on the campaign, what the message out there is, right? But the issue that I'm worried about is election security. AI can use to enhance security of electronic voting system by detecting and respond to threats. Like the other day, they found out, like somewhere in Pennsylvania, like this person, they voted four times four people, they vote like three times.
Yeah, well, so, that's nothing new. That's, AI is not the first one to think of that, right?
But they somehow they picked it up.
Yeah.
You know, somehow it can pick it up. So I think the software today, you can see the pattern because it's so fast. Think about this. If they detect a person with the same social security vote across the board, like three to five times, it would recognize it. And I'm telling you, that one of the software that they use today, have you ever heard of Palantir?
Palantir? Yeah.
So, you know, that helped the government use that for analyze stuff. Like, that's like AI. That's another AI, data mining. They use it in the military.
You know, it would seem to me that there ought to be some way, just like when you, and you see this all the time, where you get a confirmation or an OTP, you get some sort of authentication. In some cases, like Google, I know you and I both, use two-factor, and other companies, not just Google. Why don't we have that for voting? It makes no sense. It just makes no sense. And, you know, it's the most important interaction between citizen and government that we have in the way we run a democracy, right? But
you need an ID for everything, but now they don't want to voting without ID.
Right. That's the most insane thing. I mean, again, it's the most important thing that we do. And for some reason, you'll have it to file your tax returns and pay your taxes. You're going to have, they're going to verify you 19 ways till Sunday, right? But not for voting. And I just, I don't know. I don't know that it's affected us so far, but I suspect it has somewhere in our recent past. And, you know, this year is it's going to be real interesting to see
what the
results are.
I think the software today that we have provided by this company and other company like IBM Watson's and Google, I think we'd be able to find the flag effect votings and misinformation spread online. I think it will help. But my concern is not that. My concern is some people, they are paid to vote.
Right.
That's my concern.
Right.
There's the people out there that go, you know, a few years ago, there's the people that knock on my door and say, are you voting? That we can help you. They go around, and how do you know they don't pay those
harvesting.
People to vote?
They're harvesting your ballots.
So,
Well, I could see you being able to use AI to analyze the massive, massive amounts of data.
Yeah.
That exist in the voting timeline, like, you know, whenever early voting starts all the way through to the last day, and they could figure out, well, here's all the people that are registered to vote, here's the ones that have actually voted or
voted
likely
for
to
and
voted.
Voted for, right? What they
right.
want, what is the right. key the key point that people want. So if you can use AI to analyze that, you can know, imagine have the power to know what people want, what people want to hear. They can do that, and AI can do that, right? And by using that, you focus on your message, right? So
well, or if you're a really, really bad actor, you could vote for them or help harvest ballots for them, right? You'd know which doors to knock on, like you're case in point, right?
The one I'm worrying about too is the manipulation and ethics issue. Okay, and when I say manipulation, I'm talking about we talked about it before, deep fakes and synthetic media. Like you create a fake audio and video clips, and you can use AI to do all that, right? Yeah. To manipulate public opinion or smear the candidate.
And it's no longer that monotone computer voice. It's a voice that sounds familiar, sounds polished.
They can create, like hacker can use your voice and your face and make a video of you saying something like to the point that change, like spread information, right? They're using your voice and your face like to create a, hey, this guy is a racist, and he says something like blah, blah, and so forth. Like, it looked like him, walked like him, it must be him, right? That is my major concern that AI can do.
Well, what do you make of, I've seen some reports that say that AI could really be a sort of digital bodyguard with respect to election security. How do you assess that? I mean, are precincts down at that level or states using AI for that purpose, or is this all just conjecture on what might be able to do?
You know what? I really don't have an opinion on that one. It's hard to say. Yeah. There's so many answer and so many questions, right? And we don't even know for sure. We don't even know don't have enough information.
Yeah.
But what I'm concerned more is the ethical concern that the use of AI election raised ethical question around the private and potential of how they influence behavior of the voter.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So I keep talking about deepfake because right now it's happening, right? Like the other day they showed the video of this person saying thing like that, and he's a candidate. But are you sure you know who he is? People are not aware. They don't have the knowledge. They think so.
It's like the worst combination of all possible variables when you look at our voting public. I was just thinking, and if you take this far enough and you say, well, we've got good guys and bad guys. Well, it's intelligence, and then what about counterintelligence? You could play this on out several steps, and it's potentially just a disaster.
So, I talk about the problem. Now let's talk about solutions, and here what I can lay out the solution. Well, that I think it might help, right? To preventing a negative impact of artificial intelligence on the election. While harnessing the benefit of it, okay, the thing that you need to do, first establishing regulatory framework, okay? Legislation, number one, legislation and oversight. Low-tech, high-yield, okay? Auditing and accountability, just like that county just did. They found before, it was early voting, and they found these people who were in the election, she voted three times.
Jeez.
Three times.
One of the four of precinct them. Workers.
Yes,
saying.
Yes. They vote three times. They caught four of them. That is auditing and accountability.
Check and balance. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's just one case. I mean, I'm sure there's
many more.
Yeah,
They will catch many more. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, AI with its amount of data it analyzed, they will find. They can do very quickly. Okay, so that's number one, establish regulatory framework. That's legislation and oversight and auditing and accountability. Number two, enhance cybersecurity measure. What does that mean, right? You probably say, secured AI deployments. What does that mean? Well, use AI to increase cybersecurity defense in the election system. AI can detect unusual pattern and suggest tampering with. Believe it or not, you can use AI for that. Or if any breaches, like if somebody tried to hack that voting machine, AI can this proper security, you can prevent that.
Yeah.
Okay. And another thing too, with that bullet point is public and private partnership. Encourage collaboration between government and the tech company to develop a more secure voting technology established with, ethical use. I'm telling you, they're going to create a more powerful voting system in the near future that they can have all this information built in. So I am a big fan of AI, and it's a double-edged sword, but you can use it for good.
Well, it is, and it's only as good as the information we give it to build its knowledge base and make its determinations.
Right.
And there's ways that it can be influenced that I can't truly forecast, but I'm just telling you, we haven't seen the end of bad outcomes from the use of
this year I want to see how the outcome going to go, because I'm pretty sure they have some kind of tool, AI detection tool, to detect deepfake and media misinformations. So that's my point number three with combating misinformations. And you can use this tool to help social media platform. Like you think about Facebook and Twitter and such, right? So you don't depend on the company like Twitter's or Facebook's or, you know, or Google to, you do your own, the check and balance, right? So those are called AI detection tools. So these are the things, that's why I want to see this, especially this year, I want to see how the election come, performs, and we'll see how.
Well, you know, not to sound too political, but, you know, good old common sense, I think, can go a long way. And I back up to the 2020 election, and, you know, I still see how that, without me taking a side, I see how, you know, the media likes to think the MAGA folks are just, they're unwilling to say the election wasn't rigged. And yet, you know, I look at how Mr. Biden only came out of the basement about three times and had maybe 10 or a dozen people show up at rallies. And you're telling me that that could garner 80 million votes? I'd say the media is the one that's
the media is, so that's my concern too.
And yet, you know, this is the way, I mean, in my mind, AI could be used to create that sort of outcome. And the way we're
exactly.
set up now, you can't, what you know, you can't get judges to, you know, people like to say, well, the judges looked at all that evidence and said, no, it didn't. No, they didn't. They rejected in almost every case. There was either a timing issue or there was, I forget what they call it when you say someone doesn't have status to sue. So they would throw, the judges were good at throwing things out. But I don't know. I think some of the state legislatures have cleaned up, you know, a lot of state systems, and let's just hope that this time there's some, you know, accountability on the outcomes, where if we have, you know, I mean, I keep waiting for the day when we have more votes cast than we have people in the U.S., then maybe the media will understand what the uproar is about. Hey, Wynn, we've got about 10 minutes left. Let's take our last break, and
sure.
we'll come back momentarily with the final segment.
Okay. You got it. Thank
you. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstone.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man, be as good as or better than. Gotta woman up and take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and my special guest this weekend on our Cybersecurity Sunday show, Mr. AI Wynn. And Wynn, how do folks connect with you if they want to discuss more? You want to have them connect through our text system, and then
just the okay. text system, but that would
so,
be fine. Mm-hmm.
So that number, if you want to text us, is 713-581-0195. Well, we've been discussing assorted topics within the world of artificial intelligence, and more specifically, we've talked about why small companies, according to some estimates, are hacked or at least attempted to be hacked at least three times the rate of large ones. And then we've also just concluded a segment on how AI can be used, or may be used, I should say, to influence our elections. Wynn, what's next?
Well, just another topic that's kind of not too far from a sci-fi movies.
Uh-huh.
So I want to talk about the drones.
Okay.
Drones or unmanned aerial vehicle, UAV per se, now have dramatically transformed the modern warfare. So what interesting is 7 days ago, I don't know if you watched this, but in Shenzhen, they broke the record. The event featured...
And for our listeners, explain, most people don't know what Shenzhen?
Shenzhen is Shenzhen is a city of in China.
In China, okay.
And
so
they
it's
just
China,
and
it's probably military related, even though they may not say that. But
so this
what were they doing?
They were displaying part of the National Day celebration in a showcase of Shenzhen technology. You know, Shenzhen is like a Silicon Valley of the U.S.
Oh, okay.
Think about that,
you.
Right?
I got you.
So 7 days ago, September 26th, the event featured 10,000 drones flying simultaneously and creating the intricate pattern and imaging the sky. I'm talking about high resolution pictures and video above the sky.
Wow.
They did that a few years ago, but this one they perfected. I mean, I have never seen anything like this before. Okay. So what does that tell you? The drone has formed a scene. It changed everything. You're talking about is how is the impact in the military? What is it used for? Like, look what happened in Ukraine right now. Right?
Uh-huh.
They use drone to substitute humans, right, to attack targets. High precision coordinations. And you're talking about those drones, they fly in the 10,000 of them. They make a picture, a photo out of it. Look how accurate it is.
Yeah, it's
like,
kind of
real-time control. Real-time control.
It's kind of like our version of the Blue Angels, only there's no men or women in the drone like there are in the jets that fly.
So do you see the danger? Yeah. I mean, it's good, but it's also bad. You can use the drone for maybe for delivery stuff, like just like Amazon's working on a delivery system.
Yeah. But speaking of Amazon, that's a real good example, and you're probably up on this topic more than most. I know Amazon's talked about using drones. Has that actually happened? Are they actually using drones to deliver stuff now?
No, I have not seen it. But you know, in the U.S., you have to comply. You got a lot of red tape. But in China, they're already doing it already. Especially
how would Amazon? I mean, again, I've just seen passing references to it, and I kind of set it to the side until I have a package show up. With one, I'm not going to worry about it. But Is that a scenario where maybe an Amazon delivery person is going to a certain part of town or a certain neighborhood? Maybe they've got six people that live in that general neighborhood that had ordered something, and then they're executing a drone or six drone. It's the last mile, so to speak, because you've got battery issues, you've got all sorts of issues, and if a driver's got, 110 stops to make today, that's a lot of drones, or it's some really fast-charging batteries, one of the two.
Well,
right?
You can, I guess when they're talking about it, it's just like, how you call it, they give a premium service, right? If you want your packet right away.
Oh, I see. So they'll be adding some charges.
It's just like the air versus ground.
Yeah.
Right?
What's the realistic expectation on weight? Like, how much can a drone, like you've got a drone, and I know you were saying yours is, what'd you say, 4, 5, 6 years old? So things have changed, but right now, can I have a drone deliver I don't see how it could deliver a 50-pound package, right? I mean, you're talking about like maybe a small book size or iPhone case.
Did you see the one in China, in Shenzhen, they can carry people?
Oh my gosh.
So the answer
That's
is yes.
Incredible.
So they can they can deliver up to 50 to 100 pounds easily.
Wow.
I'm talking about that huge.
That's crazy.
When you talk about drone, there are several level of drone, right?
Huh.
The big one that you actually sit on, not, but instead of have people, you have computers.
Yeah.
And more accurate, and they fly faster, better than human. And they don't make mistakes like human does, right? And
That's
it can
crazy.
Fly 24/7. But there's another one that just like an hour, 2 hour, they just like 5 pound, they just easily, like within the city, I don't see an issue. They can go on top of the building, think about this, and deliver on top of the building.
Yeah, true.
So
instead of Whole Foods Amazon counters, you could have Chase Bank Tower Amazon drop-off, right?
It's getting there. So right now what I notice is that the government already implement called the remote ID. So it's starting. That means they separate between commercial and recreation.
Oh, I see.
So now they are prepared, because I think eventually only a few people like FedEx, Amazon, and the big company can do it, but not us.
Yeah, right.
Because imagine everybody doing it.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
Imagine everybody doing it. That's why.
Sure.
You know, the other day when I flew my drone, it would not let me fly. Let me tell you what happened.
Hey, first, we've got about 30 seconds left.
30 seconds? So anyway, it will not let me fly until it registered me to the Big Brother's remote ID. And the moment it registered, it said, you know what? You're in the city. You need to be careful.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, listen, we're at the end of the show. I enjoyed it once again, Wynn, and every week I learn something new. I can only assume our listeners must. So thank you for coming on again. We'll be back next Sunday with more cyber and artificial intelligence info. And then the Be A Planner show with Nathan Ross will be on the air again Thursday at 2 p.m. right here on AM 700 KSEV. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.